This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by NK Seeds. NK Corn and Soybeans offer growers unique choice and greater value, helping to deliver maximum whole farm ROI potential. A more active weather pattern is starting in the U.S. with rains today in the southern and central plains, which could lead to some rains in the central and eastern Corn Belt this weekend, along with the first nor'easter of the season on tap for New England. Be safe, but keep pushing to get those crops in the bin.
From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk, agriculture's national talk show since 1994. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us again this morning. Welcome to AgriTalk. I got to ask, is America under attack this morning? Explosive devices were reportedly sent to the homes of former Presidents Clinton and Obama and to the headquarters of CNN in Atlanta. Let's hope that they find the terrorists that did this as quickly as possible and bring them to justice, because this is the kind of stuff that drives me crazy. You don't know, is it a coordinated effort out there, or is it some lunatic that has lost his mind and decided to take things on his own? Just makes me crazy. Anyway, but there is a bit more stability in the markets this morning than yesterday morning. The stock market has started to push lower here as the morning has worn on. But the volatility is wrapping up in the equities, treasuries, and in the energy markets. And the ag markets, they seem to be in a bit of a holding pattern. There is some pressure on prices this morning, but the day isn't over there. And lean hog futures, sharply higher again this morning. The more we learn about African swine fever in China, the more concerning the situation becomes. Man, we've got a lot to cover on today's show. We'll talk with Jeff Frank from GrowMark here in just a few seconds. That will lead us into a farmer forum with Michelle Jones from Montana, Sherman Newland from Illinois, and Vic Miller from Iowa. And at the end of the show today, we'll have a quick visit with National FFA officers Erica Bear from Iowa and Brianna Holbert from California. I'm wondering the same thing. Okay, guys, how are we going to get it all into the show? And of course, we want you to be part of the conversation. Give us a call, 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. Or you can tweet at us. Just include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way, I'll be sure to say it right now. Let's bring in Betsy Gibbon for a look at the news. What's going on, Betsy?
Hey, not much, Chip. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Doing okay. I'm a little worked up this morning.
You know, I don't blame you. I think Everyone's a little worked up at some of that news, and it's
disturbing.
It's disturbing.
Absolutely it is.
It's disturbing. Yeah. The whole, everything about it and how it's all tied into fake media, whatever, what have you.
Right.
It's I'm with you.
Well,
on that.
And I'm sorry. You know, I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it. Okay. The explosive devices sent to former Presidents Clinton, Obama, CNN, and to the headquarters of CNN. I mean, it's pretty obvious here.
Yeah.
To me, that it's some right-wing lunatic. And I'm not talking about a conservative. I'm talking about a right-wing lunatic that has lost his mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll get some details and it'll all unravel sooner versus later.
Exactly. What else is going on?
Well, we have some other stuff going on in the news. President Trump defending his position on tariffs on Twitter, tweeting billions of dollars are and will be coming into the United States. He thinks the tariffs are also great for negotiations. If a country won't give us fair trade, and won't give us a fair trade deal, we will institute tariffs on them. If you look on his Twitter page, you will see that on there. He says it's all in an effort to be respected again. Of course, farmers having different reactions to the trade in general. Here's one reaction we gathered earlier in the week from one farmer who just says, I don't know what else we can do in this situation to get these markets right.
I'm not sure it's the right way. I don't know of another way. You know, anything's better than war.
That's Eric Klein over with Melinta, Ohio. Of course, I've heard both sides of the situation. So another situation where time will tell what that situation is going to be like. And you mentioned FFA on a lighter note. And Blue Jackets will swarm Indianapolis today as FFA kids from around the country will gather for its annual convention, the 91st National FFA Convention and Expo, occurring throughout Saturday. It's a time for business, awards, and keynote speakers, and everything that showcases a passion for ag in Indianapolis. And we caught up with some of the national officers who are excited to run this week's convention. Here's Gracie Furness. She's the National FFA Eastern Region Vice President from Kentucky. That's the outgoing Eastern Region Vice President.
I'm excited to celebrate with everyone, knowing that that many FFA members are going to be there, sponsors, ag teachers, and families. It's going to be really cool for all of us to come together to celebrate.
And here's Brianna Holbert. She's currently the National FFA President, outgoing FFA President. She's talking about how she's excited for the week, too.
We're then going to blow up Indianapolis with a whole bunch of Blue Jackets, as well as a whole bunch of crazy passion for FFA. And it's going to be wild.
So there we go, Chip. And I know you're talking with her later in the show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I can't, I got to say it. There's the great blue wave that everybody's talking about.
So you'll really enjoy. I interviewed Brianna too a couple of weeks ago. You'll really enjoy her. She's from California. Yeah. She's breaking barriers too, Chip. She's the first African-American female to hold this position as National FFA President, and she's very well-spoken about it.
Oh, very well-spoken about it. And, I'm looking forward to the conversation. I'll give you guys a little preview of it. When Brianna was in high school, she ran a camp called Camp Full Belly.
Okay,
where she was teaching elementary kids about where their food comes from. That's what I want to talk to her about. I want to hear how she handles that message.
I think so too. I might have to tune in.
Produced.
I might have to tune in.
about where their food comes from. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to asking her about. All right, thanks, you.
Thank you.
All right, Bets. Let's bring in Jeff Frank from GrowMark. Jeff, welcome to AgriTalk. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Chip.
You bet. You bet. Thanks for being on, man. Hey, GrowMark, started using e-connectivity. Why'd you do it?
So GrowMark has always prided itself on kind of being on the front end of embracing technology and innovation in general, and, you know, especially for our business, but then also for our member owners. And, you know, long ago, we recognized that e-connectivity was kind of the way forward to gain efficiencies, you know, across our entire cooperative system and then throughout our entire supply chain. So it was pretty obvious that we needed to put some resources behind this and really get involved. And so that's why we became involved with the Ag Gateway organization and really started to pursue e-connectivity.
You know, these co-ops that are using Ag Gateway, I mean, it all comes down to managing inventory of crop protection, fertilizer, seed across the – there's got to be benefits for you there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as you talk from the retail side, you know, our customers – you know, this connectivity back up the supply chain to the, you know, the producers of these products, the Monsantos, the Syngentas, CF fertilizers, those types of folks, you know, it allows a more streamlined order of process. You know, we have websites where our customers can come in and place an order, and then it pushes all the way through our system up to the other end. And, you know, again, it's just very responsive. It's a lot of improved time to turn that order. You know, there's not a manual intervention required by GrowMark. And, of course, it just becomes a lot more accurate because of that.
Yeah, and that accuracy means that you use it more and more. Probably using Ag Gateway technology and standards on two-thirds of your business now. That's pretty impressive, Jeff. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
All right, thanks. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That is Jeff Frank from GrowMark. Up next, we're going to have a farmer forum with Michelle from Montana, Sherman from Illinois, and Vic from Iowa right here on AgriTalk.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
They say to really know a man, you have to walk a mile in his boots. Well, my channel Seedsman has logged more miles than I can count in mine. As crops grow, so does his commitment to making sure there's nothing overlooked. And come harvest, we celebrate in the cab. Him working away, making plans for next season. Look, anybody can sell you seed. Only a Channel Seedsman gives you everything you need to make the most of it. Find yours at channel.com/boots.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF LibertyLink system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgro Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with LibertyLink and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
We're talking to Joe Bowman, corn product manager for NK. NK has proven performance in innovative new products, but how else is NK helping to increase ROI potential? So how is NK serving farmers' needs beyond the genetics in the bag?
Yeah, so we really innovate with purpose. You know, we seek different solutions to help the growers and the challenges that they may have. And a couple of different examples of this is first in the traits that we're bringing into marketplace, whether it's insect traits such as Agroserve Duracade for corn rootworm control, or Agroserve Viptera for above ground pest control such as corn earworm, western bean cutworm. And on top of that, we've been innovative with other technologies such as Enogen, which increases the efficiency in an ethanol plant, as well as improves the digestibility in beef and dairy cattle to help a return on investment, whether you're an ethanol plant or a beef cow or a dairy cow. So Syngenta and NK, we've continued for a long number of years to, you know, find unique ways to help bring new money onto the growers' farms and like I said earlier, help improve their return on their investment.
Yeah, that return. You put a dollar in, you want more than a dollar back. There's no question about that. That was Joe Bowman, corn product manager for NK. To learn more, visit nkcorn.com.
You're listening. Your neighbors are listening. The world is listening. We're talking ag. We're AgriTalk. It's what we do.
And we want you to be part of it. Give us a holler. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. It's a farmer forum on today's show. If you'd rather, let us know what you're thinking via Twitter. Just include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. Okay, Vic, Sherman, hold on a second because I'm going to bring in Michelle Jones from Montana first. Michelle is the president of the Montana Grain Growers. And the reason I'm bringing you in first here, Michelle, is because I got to get a crop update from Vic and from Sherman. And I don't want to leave you out of the first segment here. How's things going up in Montana?
Hey, Chip, good morning. They're going pretty well. We finally have some nice fall weather and been able to get caught up on seed and winter wheat and doing some fall field work.
It sounds like you're out in the tractor right now. Are you seeding or are you just tilling?
I'm actually spraying. We're all no-till and have been for a long time, but so we're doing some fall spraying.
Okay, so just give me a summary of how things went this growing season, Michelle, because, I mean, it wasn't without its challenges up there, no question about that.
Yeah, it definitely had some challenges. It was really wet this year, which, you know, is something that we try to appreciate in Montana because that doesn't happen. But it did have some impact on the winter wheat, at least in our area. And, I mean, we had an average crop, so it's hard to complain. But the winter was hard on the winter wheat, and so that was a little bit disappointing. But we definitely had a tremendous hay crop, really good spring crop. Up in the northern tier of the state, they were drier again this year. They were better than last year, but they still saw some lingering effects from the drought. But overall, it was a good year for Montana, and it's been a pretty good fall, especially if you got your winter wheat in early. It's been a struggle September, October. We finally caught up on planting by the statistics I looked this morning, but it's been a good year.
Good. Good. Michelle, we'll get back to you here in just a little bit, but I got to bring in Sherman Newland from Illinois. Sherman, the last time we talked, we were out on crop tour. How are you doing, man?
Doing well. Finally finished up here this past weekend with harvest and got everything tucked away and finished. So doing a lot better. Had a lot of mud early on in the fall, kind of dried up, and then guys really got at it. I think overall by the end of this coming week, a lot of harvest should be getting wrapped up around here.
Okay, Sherman, around here, where exactly is around here?
I am in southeast Illinois. I'm south of Route 70, right up on the Illinois-Indiana border.
Gotcha.
About four hours south of Chicago.
When you were out on crop tour with us, Sherman, you had some pretty good expectations for this year's corn and soybean crop. How'd they do? Did they live up to your expectations?
Yes and no. I mean, we talked about it earlier. We did have way too much rain this summer. Our low spots, you know, definitely actually had some zeros in them. But overall, I mean, we were probably had a record crop for corn and beans, but probably still not as high as what we thought we were going to have. I mean, I talked to some folks over in Indiana across the river. Their yields weren't quite as good in beans as they thought. And even a little bit farther north of here, things weren't quite as good as they had hoped for. So overall, still a good year, but not as high as what maybe we thought we might have.
Yeah, but that bean crop, Sherman, did you set a record for your farm on your beans?
I did. We did. Yeah, we did. We had a good record here.
Yeah.
I didn't have any 90-plus bushel bean averages, but we had a lot in the 80s for
us,
you know.
Did you see that yield monitor tick up over into triple digits in some beans?
I did. Actually, I did. I was surprised. It was one of the fields that, it had been had a lot of water on it. But when you pulled in it, you could look at it and say, yeah, and it's like, it's just full of pods. Yeah, that field averaged 84 for us. So that was actually my best field, believe it or not. Yeah,
so any issues with grain quality for you, Sherman? Because when I get to Vic here, I know we're going to get into some grain quality issues with Vic, but is everything pretty clean down there?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of problems. We didn't have the problem like the guys up in Iowa and Minnesota and Nebraska had. We didn't have that kind of a wet issue with anything. So overall, quality is pretty good. Storage space, now that's a little bit different story.
You mean you don't have a place to put 80 bushel beans?
yeah, storage around here is getting pretty well gone.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. All right. Let's bring in Vic Miller up in northeast Iowa. Vic, it's good to talk with you again.
Well, it's good to talk with you too, Chip.
Good. So tell me, how's things going for you up here? I know it's been a struggle this fall.
Well, it certainly has been, and I'm glad to know that Illinois did all right, because we're certainly not into that area at all. Beans have been a huge disappointment. We've not seen anything better than 60. Well, we had one farm that did 67 bushel. A lot of beans in this area are running in the mid-50s, low-50s. Every now and then you'll get a field that pops up over 60, 61, 62. There's some quality issues in the beans as well as the corn. The corn is... Well, if you can come in under 5% damage, you're doing very, very well here, because we've just had way too much rain. You know, that 25 inches of rain the last of September and first of October really did us in.
Holy smokes, Vic. You know, I'm hearing that more and more often now as guys are getting deeper into their beans in particular, and I can't believe that we're, you know, here it is, October 24th, and we're talking about finally getting far enough into their beans to get a good handle on what their yields are going to be. But it's basically Highway 20 to the north I think, anyway, is where guys are just, they're consistently disappointed with what they're getting on beans. Vic, did you harvest any beans before it started really raining on you, or did you have to wait until it dried up?
No, we didn't get anything cut before the rain started. We had a lot of green leaves, green stems, and one thing and another. The beans just weren't fit. Now, I do know that I have talked with some people that had some beans cut before the rain started, and they were running in the 70 to 71, 72 bushel area. And after the rain, that same field saw 5 to 7 bushel yield hit, and in one instance there was a 10 bushel yield hit. Now, and that's pretty obvious as to what went on there with the amount of rainfall that we had. And so, you know, we just took 5 to 10 bushel right off the top of the bean yields.
Yep, man, that's amazing that the weather that we had could do that much. And I'm hearing the same thing out of South Dakota. Guys, when you hear stories like that, you got to start thinking that maybe the USDA numbers that we get on November 8 are going to pull back a little bit on soybeans here. Michelle, we've got a lot of crop that needs to be moved. We're going to use a lot of it domestically, but we got to get our exports back up and running here. Give me your latest thoughts on what's going on with the trade issues.
Yeah, we definitely need to get our exports back up and running, especially, you know, soybeans, obviously, with their lack of demand in China. But even wheat exports are way behind our average. And we're definitely excited to have USMCA, you know, sitting ready to be approved by each of the governments to finalize that and wrap that up, because Mexico is a big market for our winter wheat. And we're also, you know, looking forward to President Trump and President Xi meeting in, I believe, Argentina later in November to hopefully make some progress on China, so we can get back that market, not just for soybeans and sorghum and hogs, but we also have lost our wheat market in China, which is more of an emerging market for wheat, but it was definitely an important one given the demand, you know, the demand potential that's there in that market.
Well, Michelle, what you just said is what makes it so hard, is that it was an emerging market, and we need those emerging markets for wheat. And that's what makes it so hard when we run up against a roadblock like we've got right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it was definitely really disappointing. And it was really disappointing to see the Chinese, you know, stop buying entirely. Because when the U.S. had two enforcement cases, well, we still have them, against China that we put up to the WTO in 2016, that didn't impact the Chinese buying of wheat. They still bought, they actually bought more wheat the following year than they had been previously.
Yep.
And so it was interesting to see the two different parallels, that they took this trade war, trade skirmish, whatever you want to call it, you know, a lot more seriously, and that stopped buying cold turkey, and as opposed to, you know, previous disputes he had on trade through official channels didn't stop their buying. So it's kind of been interesting and certainly disappointing, and hope to see it, you know, make some progress there.
Yeah, making progress. That's the key here, guys. When we come back, what I want to talk about, and I'm going to talk about it with Vic and Sherman here when we come back, but we've got some progress going. We've got some momentum going. We just need to keep this going and continue to push forward on some of these agreements and get our trade issues settled here. And Vic, one of our friends, Pam Johnson, she's over at the WTO right now trying to plead the case to open up these markets around the world. We'll talk about that next right here on AgriTalk.
It's Digging Deeper with the Mosaic Company, the show where two agronomy experts take your questions about crop nutrition. Here are your hosts, Kurt Woolfolk and Ross Bender, senior agronomists from the Mosaic Company.
Hi, this is Kurt.
And this is Ross. And today we're answering the questions you sent us on social media.
This one comes in from Twitter. What's the best product on the market for boosting sulfur levels?
Boosting sulfur levels in a soil is actually a fairly difficult task, so we need to find a source that can keep it available for longer.
MicroEssentials with Fusion technology contains two forms of sulfur: sulfate sulfur for early season crop needs, and elemental sulfur that takes time over the growing season for season-long sulfur availability to that plant.
Today, what we know is that our crops not only need greater quantities of nutrients, they need to be available for longer, and any practice you can use to keep that available for longer will help. Micro Essentials is a tool in the toolbox to help you do that.
Have any questions you want Kurt and Ross to tackle? Tweet to us at Micro Essentials on Twitter or send us a message on Facebook. And to learn more about smart crop nutrition, visit microessentials.com.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady joins us now. Beach, these hogs, they're putting back-to-back days together. It's a pretty impressive move.
Yeah, really strong, Chip. We had the rough week last week where traders widened out the discount that the futures hold to the cash index. We've gained all that back here so far through the first 2.5 days this week, and we're actually above those levels now. So they are narrowing up that discount in a big way. African swine fever is still, an issue out there. I think that's given us some support. But that huge discount that those winter month contracts held to the cash index and still hold is definitely supportive.
Very good. Okay, this wheat market, it's acting like an anchor on things right now in the grain complex.
Definitely is. From a technical perspective, we're getting a breakdown here this morning in the winter markets. And as a result, that is putting some pressure on the corn and soybean markets as well. But we also have improved weather, harvest weather. And guys are trying, I mentioned this earlier this week, but guys are trying to get as much out as they can because there are some rains coming later on this week, and it looks like next week might be a wetter week again. So, they're trying to rip out as much as they can.
Yeah. Bean trade, I can't believe that these corn and soybean markets are going to go too far, though, in front of the November 8 crop production report, right?
Well, we're watching some technical levels. The 40-day moving average is being tested pretty hard here in front month soybean futures, and that's a critical level to watch from a technical perspective.
All right. We've got a little bit of strength in the cattle complex going today as well. Thanks, Brian. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Annalisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Annalisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, farmer-focused podcast. It's all about production agriculture. Farming the Countryside is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts and is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Hey, if you want to be part of the conversation, now's the time. Pick up the phone, 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us, hashtag AgriTalk. That way I'll be sure to see it. Vic, I know you. We're talking with Michelle Jones from Montana, Vic Miller from Iowa, and Sherman Newland from Illinois. Vic, I know you've spent a lot of time working on market development around the world. When you see these trade issues, give us your bottom line. What do you think?
Well, there were definitely some issues that had to be resolved in especially with China, Chip. Yeah. The theft of technology cannot be tolerated. Now, I don't know what happened with the Trump administration imposing tariffs. I'm not sure that was the right thing to do or the wrong thing, but it was something had to be done. Now, having said that, perhaps we've become a bit too dependent upon the Chinese market and not, just plain overlooked other areas of the world that need as much attention as what China does. The Grains Council, which I was involved with quite heavily, they've got the export exchange going on in Minneapolis right now, just bringing buyers and sellers together hopefully promoting, U.S. product further along that line. Another thing that's going on is, the Trump administration put out $200 million for trade promotion. And, that is going through FAS and in those areas. And I know that the council has put together a couple or three really aggressive programs, several million dollars worth of programming to address markets around the world and to try and look at other areas as well as China, so that it comes back to the old Walmart thing. Walmart won't give just one customer or one buyer, one seller, 90% of the market, because if something happens, that guy's out of business.
Right.
Well, we kind of got into that mode a little bit with China here. Now, yep. I'm not sure that how we're going to get out of it, and it's going to be painful. I'm really afraid that before this is all said and done, that there's going to be some blood spilled. All right.
Yep. Vic, I think you're right. Speaking of some bloodshed, Sherman, bean basis has just stunk this year. Are you seeing any improvement at this point in harvest down there as far as basis levels go for corn and soybeans?
No, not a lot. And I don't know if it's going to improve until we get, completely finished with the guts lot of harvest, which we're getting closer. But I don't know. I mean, if we would have some sort of bump up in the market, whether it's, some sort of agreement with China or not, there's a lot of beans out there that's got to find a home or be moved. So I don't know if we're going to see much of an improvement in basis for a while. I mean, typically, yes, we do see an improvement in basis once harvest gets over with. So I do expect a little bit. But there's just a lot of beans and a lot of corn to chew through in our area.
Yeah. And it seems like everybody wants to put them in the bin this year. And there's more interest in putting beans in the bin this year than I've ever seen, I think, Sherman.
Oh, I think so. I think every little bin that was out there in the countryside got used up this year. Either that or guys took them to town, put them on DP, put them on storage. So eventually, all these beans have got to come, and corn, come to the market, and the guys are looking around saying, well, what now? When do we move it? How do we move it? Will we get a rally? I mean, they're looking at, getting finished up. They're looking into yields. Now they're going to start looking at their financials and going forward for next year, start to make plans. And there's a lot of ifs out there and no real good answers right now.
Yeah. Speaking of financials, let's get into that here just a little bit. Michelle, what's the attitude, the general attitude among Montana farmers?
I think the general attitude among Montana farmers is decent, largely because the price of wheat has improved over last year. Last year was really low price for wheat. So that has been beneficial to wheat farmers. It's also been it's kind of helped temper some of the, pushback to our tariffs and stuff like that because we do have a higher price. So for now, I think that, it's a pretty decent attitude. I think there's definitely a lot of concerns going into next year if we don't see our exports pick up. I'm optimistic that they will pick up, largely because there's just not enough high-quality exportable wheat in the world. That's a little bit of what sets us apart from corn and beans.
Yeah, Michelle, how is life for a young farmer in Montana right now?
It's definitely still sitting at break even. I mean, we're gonna break even again this year, the same as last year, and we'll be able to keep chugging along. But we always, you always sit here and worry about, will next year be, the price be better, worse, the same, or are we gonna get caught on a drought? Because right now we're operating on pretty good production and marginal prices, and you get bad production and marginal prices, and things get a little iffy. But so there's definitely some concerns. There's a lot less optimism than even when I came back to the farm 6 years ago. Now there's a lot less optimism for young farmers, but we're still making it, I guess.
Yep. Vic, I don't know if I've seen as much No, I've seen the spread this wide before between the established farmer that has their costs under control versus the startup guy that's dealing with a lot of debt. But boy, there's an ocean of difference between those two operations right now, isn't there?
Oh, there is, Chip, and you know, it's a great concern because, let's face it, if you look at the average age of farmers, there's going to be a tremendous turnover here in the next 10 years. And yet, how do these young farmers acquire enough capital? I mean, this is such a capital-intensive industry. And how do those people get access to the amount of capital that it's going to take? And, you know, I guess I feel very fortunate that I'm on the far end of the thing where you know, quite frankly, it's going to be a real debate as to what has to happen here if we're going to have young farmers in, or are we just going to end up with a corporate takeover of agriculture? I mean, you know, it was like, when we were farming in Ukraine, you know, unless you were farming, you know, 100,000 hectares, you didn't compete. Well, yeah. We don't want that to get established here, I don't believe, but you know, how do we get the capital necessary to these young people? And part of the problem is they've got to understand that, you know, that new green equipment is wonderful, but, you know, you can probably get established using some stuff that the paint is a little faded on.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are some of the issues that we're facing. And so how do we go about addressing them?
Right. Right, yeah, Sherman, it's a big challenge. Go ahead, Michelle.
I would say he's definitely right. You can get established using paint that's older, because that's all I've got. And, you know, I'm fortunate a lot of it has come from my dad, who actually is still weighing down the average age of the U.S. farmer. But, old paint works just as well as new paint.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Hey, I want to get to this. Sherman, what's happening down there in southeast Illinois that you think everybody else needs to know about?
Harvest is just really wrapping up. Guys are trying to, you know, get things put away, squared away, and then, you know, secure needs for next year. I think that's probably some of the biggest things that's going on. Looking at seed, looking at fertilizer prices are going, those are going up, you know, yeah. Interest rates are going up. I mean, it's a struggle. So I think, you know, back to the financial part of it, I think guys are looking around, you know, trying to figure out how they're going to make it another year. We're blessed with, you know, really good yields this year. So, I mean, that's going to get you by with these prices. But, you know, what happens is, you know, how do you go about it next year if you don't have those good yields, you know, and everything else seems to go up, whether it's cost of steel or land or rent, you know, it's going to be a struggle.
Yeah, yeah. Sherman, are these yields that you're talking about down there, you think they're going to hold up, kind of float those cash rental values down there again?
It seems to be, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it seems so. Like, yeah. Boy, that everybody's looking for lower cash rents, and we keep getting these yields that kind of buoy up that market out there, no doubt about it. Vic, Northeast Iowa, what's happening up here that you think everybody needs to know about?
Well, I think the big thing is the interest in ethanol with the E15 situation. But quite frankly, the E15 is a wonderful thing for us. But the bigger issue is the RINs and getting that back in order so that we can do something there to get that movement going. Because quite honestly, we've been far more hurt by the exemption that the refiners got on the RINs. Any other single thing, because we would not have this. We could have gotten rid of 2 billion bushels more of corn if we hadn't had these exemptions on these refiners. And so this is the big deal here. You know, every kernel of corn that I grow goes to an ethanol plant. And, you know, that is just a huge issue, and we absolutely have to get that addressed. And if
Boy,
we're going to do that, that's going to help the young farmers, too.
Absolutely. And if we can get that fixed, then corn is actually bidding for acres next year rather than soybeans just giving it up. Michelle, we are almost out of time, but I got to ask, what's going on up there that we need to know about?
Well, I'm going to take 30 seconds for some free advertising and mention that the Grain Growers Convention is the end of November and our registration's open. So even if you're not from Montana, not a member, if you're interested in coming, head over to our website and register and join at the end of November.
Okay, so look, just Google Montana Grain Growers. That'll get them there.
Yep, or mgga.org.
Got it. Got it. Michelle, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Vic, I hope to see you again here real soon.
We look forward to it, Chip.
All right. And Sherman, good luck wrapping things up down there. Appreciate your time today.
All right, crew. Let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Prepare for the future of ag technology at Farm Journal Media's Ag Tech Expo, December 3rd through the 5th in Indianapolis. Whether you're a novice or a tech-savvy early adapter, Ag Tech is your go-to source for the latest in the industry. Customize your event experience and gain a competitive edge with more than 25 educational breakout sessions focused on precision ag, using data, machinery and iron, and sustainable technology. Grower and retailer registrations only $99. Sign up today at www.farmjournalagtechexpo.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
It's time to get dirt rich with new Poncho Votivo 2.0 corn seed treatment. The increase in microbial activity in the soil helps get more nutrients to the plant, and you get an average 3.8 bushel per acre yield increase over the original Poncho Votivo, all with the trusted insect and nematode protection you're used to. So be dirt rich, because that's smart. Ask your seed dealer for the new Poncho Votivo 2.0 today. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Prepare for the future of ag technology at Farm Journal Media's Ag Tech Expo, December 3rd through the 5th in Indianapolis. Whether you're a novice or a tech-savvy early adapter, Ag Tech is your go-to source for the latest in the industry. Customize your event experience and gain a competitive edge with more than 25 educational breakout sessions focused on precision ag, using data, machinery and iron, and sustainable technology. Grower and retailer registrations only $99. Sign up today at www.farmjournalagtechexpo.com.
The harvest season is one of the hardest, but man, it is a rewarding time of the year for farmers. I've been talking with Adam Piggott, a channel seedsman from Cleghorn, Iowa this week. Adam, what do you look forward to the most during harvest season?
Harvest season is really the time where everything comes together. I look forward to really getting out into the fields and into the combine cabs with my growers to be able to see what we've accomplished for the growing season.
It's also a time to evaluate what's out there in the field. What type of agronomic problems might be bigger problems next year?
Through the field checkup series throughout this past year, I have noticed a little bit more corn rootworm damage this year than I have in the past. These are things that we need to pay attention to moving forward. There's also been some stalk rot issues along with some nitrogen issues out here this fall that we've been paying attention to that we're going to have to give a little bit of extra attention to moving forward for next growing season.
Yeah, and we need to keep check of where those weed infestations are too, right?
When you see a weed infestation in a field, you know that that could be an issue moving forward, then you may have to make a management decision to go ahead and change what you're doing in order to get a better result.
That's where the data and observations of the Channel Field Checkup Series and the custom crop report that Channel Seedsmen put together for customers can really come in handy.
When we, as Channel Seedsmen, go through the Field Checkup Series and create that custom crop report, we're really doing that so that we give that grower more information information at their fingertips, and that way they can make better management decisions moving forward. It also hopefully helps us bring that grower's ability to achieve higher yield potential throughout his operation.
Thanks, Adam. Learn more about Channel Products in the Field Checkup Series at channel.com, and you can find Channel on Twitter and Facebook. Just search Channel Seed.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. We are we're trying to get in contact with the folks down in Indianapolis at the National FFA convention down there. It's just getting started. I'm sure that the 2018 officers are very busy here this morning trying to get things all organized for their celebration of a year spent as an officer at the FFA on the national level. Looking forward to the conversation with them here when we get them on the line. You know, we kind of, in the Farmer Forum there, we started to get into some of the areas that I think are creating a lot of anxiety. And I don't want to say conflict. I don't think it's at conflict yet, guys, but it is creating some anxiety out here in farm country. And that is that divide between the well-being, the financial well-being of those that are well-established in farming, in the farming business, and those that are getting started and carrying a debt load and having to service that debt. And having to, yeah, you're using faded paint, but, you know, sometimes faded paint comes with repairs. Trying to get along in the community, right? And it's not easy at times. There's no question that it can create some conflicts. And I've heard plenty of stories about it here over the last 6 months, but even 18 months. Something like that. And I don't think it's going to be getting any better for at least a short period of time. You know what fixes it, guys? You know what fixes it? What fixes it is a better market, right? I mean, Vic Miller, like we talked about with him, Vic has worked for years to develop markets overseas. His work with the U.S. Grains Council was very impressive. What Michelle is doing with the Montana grain growers in a leadership role as a young farmer, as a young farmer, her leadership role up there with the Montana grain growers, I think is awesome. We need to see more of that. And then Sherwin down in southern Illinois, southeast Illinois, in an area that it does feed that export market, but it also feeds that domestic market down in the southeast for poultry and hog production. You can see how everything is intertwined, and you've got to have, as in any business, you've got to have those that are struggling along with those that are doing okay, and it's a blend of working together to make things right. Now, when you think about those that are struggling, what are they bringing to the industry right now? They are bringing innovation. They are bringing the drive for efficiency. They are bringing better working relationship between lenders and farmers up and down the scale. Up and down the scale. I mean, we talk about it a lot. Don't go dark on your lenders. Well, the older generation, the established generation, is more likely to go dark on their lender than what the younger farmers and those that are trying to become established are. They're not going to go dark because they need that lender as a partner. So the whole lending, the whole lenders are learning from these younger farmers that are trying to get established on how to work better with farmers across the scale. And then you've got that established generation like Sherman and Vic that are working to make the industry better as a whole. They're working on the, and I mentioned Pam Johnson earlier. Pam's on the the Friday free-for-all on a regular basis with us. She's a former president of Mazal International Grain Growers. Right now, in that capacity with Mazal, she's at the World Trade Organization. All right? She is taking not only Iowa's message to the World Trade Organization, she's taking the U.S. message to the World Trade Organization and explaining that, yes, we understand that we need freer and fairer trade, but we need to do it in a way that is going to provide some opportunities for farmers around the world, not just here in the U.S. All right, we've been trying. Like I said, we've been trying to make contact with the national FFA officers. But tell me, what do you think happens when you put that many teenagers and young adults into one location in Indianapolis? What do you think happens to the cell service down there, guys? Yeah, that's what we're dealing with down there right now. They're having a tough time getting a line out to have a conversation with us. Hopefully, we'll be able to do that here later in the week. And I do want to tell you, like I said at the start of the show, Brianna Holbert, president of the National FFA, or National FFA president, it's a groundbreaking story, and it's a success story that I think we need to look at, because she is our first African-American female president of the FFA, national president of FFA. It's a great story, but like I said, I wanted to get into her Camp Full Belly farm that she operated and used as an educational experience for elementary kids when she was in high school in California. I just find it fascinating that as a young person, she took that upon herself to educate other young people about food and where it comes from and how it gets from the farm to their dinner plate. I think that is a lesson that we all need to learn, and we all need to learn from the lesson that Brianna was sharing with us, or with Camp Full Belly. It's a story that we need to tell more often, and not just to the youth. There's a lot of adults that could benefit from hearing that story as well out there. Thank you for listening today, and thanks to Michelle Jones from Montana, Sherman Newland from Illinois, Vic Miller from Northeast Iowa for taking part in the Farmer Forum today. Come back this afternoon for AgriTalk After the Bell. We are going to be taking a deep dive into the weather outlook with Ed Valley from Valley Weather Consulting. And tomorrow morning on AgriTalk, Tom Slight from the U.S. Grain Council with some more good news on markets.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
They say to really know a man, you have to walk a mile in his boots. Well, my channel Seedsman has logged more miles than I can count in mine. As crops grow, so does his commitment to making sure there's nothing overlooked. And come harvest, we celebrate in the cab. Him working away, making plans for next season. Look, anybody can sell you seed. Only a Channel Seedsman gives you everything you need to make the most of it. Find yours at channel.com/boots.
Thanks to NK Seeds for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your local NK retailer about adding a science-driven boost to your seed portfolio.